You broke into my house, stole my property, murdered my servants and my pets, and that is what grieves me the most. You killed my snake. Thorgrim is beside himself with grief.
Greetings and well met, travelers. You have found your way to Dragonreel, a magical journey to the realm of fantasy movies.
Welcome back to the Dragonreel podcast. This is episode 6, where we're going to talk about Conan the Barbarian. And with me in chair number 2, would you like to come into her tent and warm yourself by her fire? Because here's Sharon.
And you will have everything you desire. Well,
I need more color. I need more local color.
I'm going to need a little me time after that intro.
I'll be in my bunk.
In chair number 3, we have, he knows exactly what's best in life. It's Pete.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And just remember that my God is mightier than yours because your God sits beneath mine.
I know what is best in life.
Well,
you do?
Funny you should mention it. Here we have in chair number 4, for the first time ever on Dragonreel Podcast, Old Rule Zero Podcast fan favorite,
yay,
it's Mike Shea. Oh, wait, let me give you an intro. I pray to him, but he doesn't listen. It's Mike Shea.
If you do not listen, then to hell with you.
Mike Shea knows the riddle of steel.
Yeah, so are going to talk about Conan the Barbarian.
What is steel compared to the hand that wields it?
Exactly.
Exactly. So, that is, in fact, the riddle of steel.
So, interestingly enough, for a movie that is over 2 hours long, that maybe has a combined total of 15 minutes of dialogue.
Yeah.
There sure is a lot of quotable stuff in here.
There sure is.
Pretty much every line.
Yeah. So this is from 1982. It put Arnold on the map, I think.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It's very hard to say that the villain was really his major motion picture breakthrough.
No.
How can you say that?
What else did he do before?
Who knew
this?
James Earl Jones?
Yeah.
Although he tried to pull that I am your father shit twice.
No kidding, right?
Yeah. And the second time he goes, Luke should have done what Conan did. Like, oh, you're full of shit. And just hacked his head off.
And hacked his head off. Yeah. Cause I've, I actually did, I captured that
swear?
Sound
can
so that I could play it later, but you spoiled it for me, so that's okay.
Is swearing allowed?
Yeah, go ahead.
Shit.
Go as blue as you want.
Excellent.
Why don't you do it anyway?
Wasn't James Earl Jones in a movie called The Great White Hope?
Was he?
Yeah, he was a boxer.
I don't know. I didn't see that one.
Oh, okay.
In fact,
gentlemen,
I've seen him in Roots and this and Star Wars, and I can't really think of anything else I've seen him in.
Boys. Somebody needs to summarize this movie. Who wants to do
it? Sharon, I think you should summarize the movie because throughout the whole movie, you had literally no idea what was going on most of the time.
Okay. I'm gonna summarize this movie, okay?
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, this movie starts in a pleasant village, and then the pleasant village gets taken over, and then we see a slave turn into a guy while walking around a wheel, and he turns into a really hunky guy, and then the rest of the movie is about watching the really hunky guy a lot
as he
without his shirt
so many...
on. Yes, that's, I think that's what that movie was about, but maybe a man might want to summarize it a
anybody
bit
have any other idea of what this was about?
No, I think she nailed it.
Yeah. So
it is about one thing, and it never loses course the whole movie.
And
one word summarizes the whole movie.
Okay.
Revenge.
Ah, yes.
It's true.
That's it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was just thinking, for most of the movie, I was just thinking about Conan's hot mom.
Oh,
yeah.
She is hot.
Really?
Yes.
Well.
Just stunning. She's an ex-Bond girl also.
Oh, is she really? I was like, Conan's got a pretty fly mommy there.
Totally.
I thought the witch scene was kind of cool. Hey, what was all that staring at her and then he killed her anyway? I didn't get it.
I think the impression that we get later is the fact that when Thulsa Doom tries to dominate people, he tries to put the whammy on them first. And if he doesn't successfully whammy them, then he just kills them.
Okay, so he tried to put the whammy on her and it didn't work?
That was my take on it.
Hmm. Huh.
Mike?
Who put the whammy on who?
Thulsa Doom, when he rides into the village, takes off his helmet and looks at Conan's mom.
Right.
He could just stare at each other for a while. Right. And she puts down the sword but stands up defiantly to him and raises her chin, and that's when he
invoking
pops
off sorcery.
Right.
Oh, and it didn't work.
Right. No, he was trying to put the whammy on her.
Okay.
Oh, I thought it was just a really awkward moment with Conan there.
No. He was trying to dominate her. He was trying to use he uses the same trick later with greater subtlety when he looks at the one acolyte who's up on the cliff and he goes, "Come to me, my child."
Mm-hmm. And she jumps off.
Right. But Conan's mom, even though she puts down her sword, just looks up at him defiantly and raises her chin, and that's when he cuts her head off.
Hmm.
Oh. Yeah, I don't know if I buy your
you don't have to buy it, Mike. It's the truth. So there you go.
Whoa!
Did anybody listen to the DVD commentary on this?
Yes, it is awesome. Because it's basically Arnold Schwarzenegger describing what's happening in the movie as though he has seen it for the first time. It's hysterical.
I would like to watch that.
And the director is getting slowly sloshed in the background. From what
yes.
It is yeah, great. Amelia told us we gotta listen to the commentary.
Yes, it is wonderful. It is one of the better ones.
So, my summary of this movie is that his family was killed by this cult, which then ascended to power somewhere far, far away, because he traveled all over the freaking world.
Yeah.
Looking for Thulsa Doom. And he finally finds him and, you know, infiltrates the cult badly.
Yeah. Fails his stealth check.
Right.
Which is great, because it shows that Conan, well, he's not a thinker.
Yeah.
He doesn't have big plans.
Yeah. He's a doer. He's definitely a doer.
And he builds up a reputation enough that he pisses off Ming.
Max von Sydow, thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah, Max von Sydow.
Who is one of my favorite lines in this movie?
I bet he got paid more than anybody else in this movie.
Probably.
For his, 5 minutes of screen time.
Oh, yeah.
That's because he nails it. Yeah. I mean,
he's pretty great.
Bring it home like Max von Sydow can.
Yeah, I got this 26-minute sound clip, but I don't... Or 26-second sound clip, which is all of him, but you guys want to hear
the 26-minute
sound clip. Yeah, do it.
This is, even with just the sound, this is, you know, this is the awesomeness of Max.
So know what you've done. Why, Rexxar himself has come before me, threatened me, the king. What daring! What outrageousness! What insolence! What arrogance! I salute you.
Are you guys... Oh, really? You guys didn't hear
me? We lost you completely.
No, nothing.
We couldn't hear you at all.
Holy shit. Okay, so I'm not going to play any sound clips this time.
That's why I said the quote, so...
Okay. Yeah, no, it was the I salute you one.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
I salute you.
Yeah, okay, well, that kind of sucks, because that was kind of part of the show here.
Well, we'll put it in later.
Can you hear me now?
I can still hear you.
I can hear you, yes.
You can't hear... But you can't hear the
clip. Rexxar himself has...
All right, no clips. Okay, closing that.
All right.
Don't close Skype.
Yeah, good.
Be careful.
I shan't. All right.
Why don't you pretend like you put it in and we'll talk about it.
I'll put it in later. Yeah, so how about that clip, huh?
It was great.
Great.
Yeah.
Wow. Dude, that guy's awesome.
He sure is.
He really has... He has such gravitas.
So there is a lot of stuff going on in this movie that is visual. And I don't think I have talked through a movie as much as I did with this one.
And not had any effect on the movie?
Well, most of it was no dialogue, and there was a lot of dialogue that was in unintelligible.
Like, I just realized something.
Huh.
When you and Mike were talking earlier about it being about revenge,
yeah,
Conan's the Punisher.
Yeah.
That's pretty funny, because I just watched that today.
Yeah.
Although the Punisher wasn't nine.
So I have a
true
question.
But still,
The movie was about revenge,
yes,
yeah,
what was the whole sword thing about? Because his father was making this fabulous sword,
right,
and he's looking for the sword, but then the sword cracks later on.
He's not really looking for it, though.
He's not really looking for that sword per se.
Right.
All
right.
But when he sees it, it's
yeah,
significant.
It's meaningful.
It's meaningful, but then the sword cracks. So
right.
there is a bit of a promise that they set up with the sword that's not delivered on.
Yeah. So I just didn't. Oh. I wanted someone to explain that. And
well, I can give you the explanation from the book.
Okay.
Which is that Conan's dad, as a smith, is one of the few smiths who knows the secret of Atlantean steel.
Okay.
So his swords are very sought after. So the tribe that they live in is actually pretty wealthy.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And that's why Thulsa Doom went into the north to get a hold of one of these swords.
So it was special to him at the time.
Right.
But
and then
he lost.
Later
yeah,
he
then
learns,
he didn't really care. Right.
Yeah, later he learns that that's not what's important.
It's not right. steel. It's the hand that wields the steel.
Correct.
His company came up with a new strategic plan that didn't involve.
And they came up with a tagline and a whole new marketing.
Whole new marketing angle, which is going to be snakes. They were pretty big into snakes even back then, though.
Yeah.
But not just snakes, but diaphanous clothing.
Right.
I think that was very important.
And writhing orgies on the pedestal there?
That was just
cannibalism.
That was an after effect.
What was a cannibalism thing about? That was like, well, here's just to show they're bad, here's a hand in the stew.
Well, so one interesting thing, most of the time, so I watched this movie about 900 times when I was a kid. which explains a lot.
Wow,
and it was all 4x3. It was all cut 4x3.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So watching it in widescreen, when they go into that tunnel and they go into the place where they're making the soup, you see all kinds of eviscerated humans hanging in front.
I never noticed that before, and I watched it this time and saw it.
Gross. Yeah. I'm
like, whoa.
Glad I didn't notice it.
Yeah.
Ugh. Yuck.
Yeah.
Sorry.
And you don't see it before, but not, you know. So yeah, it's more than like the one hand and the head.
Yeah.
Yes.
There's lots of dead people.
Because evil people always eat bodies.
Who knows?
Well, long pig is delicious, so you can't really argue that point.
Right.
So I'm actually going to compare this movie to a new movie that's out now that has people pretty excited, which is the new Mad Max Fury Road.
Okay.
I think they are very similar. And they are similar, and I'm bringing it up at this moment because talking about the cannibalism. They never really talk about the cannibalism in Conan.
Uh-huh.
Right?
It's just there.
And it means that there's all kinds of stuff with Thulsa Doom's cult that we don't know about and never find out about and is relatively immaterial to the fact that Conan wants to cut his head off.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And Fury Road's the kind of same way. There's a whole ecosystem going on in Fury Road that we don't know about and don't see and isn't explained and doesn't matter because that's not the story.
Right.
And that's one of the things I love about Conan. They don't have to grab your hand and walk you through the whole thing.
Exactly. Yeah, they don't go out of their way to explain everything, which makes me happy to no end. Plus, that was kind of the Robert E. Howard way, too. He didn't give you a whole lot of background.
Right.
If Conan goes into an abandoned city at night and faces, you know, some ghoulish creatures, we don't know where these ghoulish creatures came from. He's just facing ghoulish creatures.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, I mean, we don't know anything about that Atlantean king where he gets the sword.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know anything about the sword. Right.
Right. Exactly.
It doesn't matter, you know. And there's obviously a story there.
And he doesn't get to fight the ghost of the king in the movie. So.
Did he in the book?
Yeah.
So I have a question. So when you say the book, are you talking about an early Robert E. Howard Conan novel, or the novelization of this film?
No, I'm talking about the Robert E. Howard novel Conan.
Okay, the first one.
Yes.
Okay, and so this is the story that is taken from that.
There are parts of that story that are taken from the original book, including his village being raided, him being sold into slavery, becoming a pit fighter, being set free, finding the Atlantean king's chamber, the cairn, to escape from the wolves, and then entering into civilization wearing wolf skins.
Okay.
Then he fights a bunch of hyena people.
the gnolls. But the thing about the stories, the Conan stories, is that they kind of jump around in his lifetime.
Right.
Because Robert E. Howard just released the books as compendiums of short stories that he'd released to magazines.
Oh, okay. So Mike, you read the books too?
I read some of them.
Okay.
But so Thulsa Doom first shows up in Conan the Barbarian, the book, okay. by Robert E. Howard, not the novelization of the movie.
Okay. Because I read some comic books, and that's my literary experience with Conan.
Gotcha. It's a fun read.
There was a great Conan story where he goes into court and he's testifying.
Mm-hmm.
And during the testimony, he disagrees with the judge so much that he kills everyone in the courtroom.
my favorite one is when he's
Conan
arrested.
Justice.
He really is. He just starts hacking people.
I like when he's arrested by a civil servant for stealing something because he just happened to be in the warehouse stealing something else when the other thief was killed. and his scream brought the city watch.
So, Sharon, did you ever read any Conan books?
I feel ashamed that I have not.
Well, no, don't be ashamed, please, because if you're ashamed, then I have to be ashamed, and I really don't like being ashamed.
Okay.
I haven't read any, so novels.
I have
anyway.
Not. I wanted to ask you gentlemen if you could talk about what scene in the movie you liked the best, your favorite scene.
I have mine.
Please.
The scene where they infiltrate Thulsa Doom's mountain of power from the beginning to the end. So when
they do the camo paint and everything?
Yes, and okay. I love the camo paint. They look badass. Like
they
Conan's
look like an 80s glam band.
It's great. They got really big hair. And he's got the big black stripe across his eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And they have that scene where he faces off against, what's his name? The Rexxor. And yes. Rexxor sees him, and he just stands there, and he flexes and brings his hands together with the sword.
Right.
And it's just, you know, oh, it's so great.
There's a lot of flexing.
It's a hell of a good fight scene. It's got lots of boobs.
Lots of boobs.
That scene has everything in it.
Two cool things from that scene. Number one, besides him flexing at Rexxor, is Rexxor's amazing hammer.
wasn't it Fulgrim?
Rexxor's got the sword. That's right.
Rexxor's got a big axe in that scene.
Oh, okay. Because he also wields a sword later in the king's thing. The daughter of King Osric, who they're coming to save, her dress makes her lower body look like it's a snake.
Oh, I never noticed that.
Yeah, and it's one of those things that my son pointed it out to me as they were cutting away, and he goes, oh, I get it now. Why she wears the dress, because it makes her look like she's half woman, half snake. And then later, when she's tied to the rock, and the minions of doom come to kill Conan and take her back, as she's standing against the rock, you can really see it. It looks like she's a naga.
Okay, so, I didn't notice that.
Yeah. So it's the little things that I liked about that movie. Uh-huh. My favorite scene is the King Osric scene, the part that I quoted.
Yeah, it's a good scene.
So,
tell us what you liked about it, Pete.
I felt that it was the first time Conan kind of lives fast and loose up to that point. His only really driving motivation is revenge, ultimately, and everything else that happens in between is to kind of fill the coffers and facilitate his revenge. It's when Osric hires him
and gives him
the speech that I feel like there's a moment of depth. You know, there's something greater than in that moment. And like I said, Max Fancito just knocks that out of the park. It's such a great monologue. So,
Sharon, what's your favorite scene?
Well, you know, I'm.
I know.
I have two. No, you don't know because I have two.
You're hedging.
Yeah, I would say that I, just out of campiness, the sex scene with him and the witch, just because it's a sex scene. And I think my real favorite scene though is when Valeria says, you know, even in death, I'd always fight by your side. And then I looked at Chris because I had never seen this movie before. And I looked at Chris and I said, oh, come on, little muffin. She's going to die, isn't she?
She did say that, too.
Yeah. I said, oh, come on.
Little muffin?
She did.
I do. Because, you know, because he's not a little muffin, but he's cute like a little muffin.
More like a loaf.
No, but I'm like, oh, why are you making me watch this movie? She's going to die, and then she's going to come back, and it's going to make me cry. And it did. He looked at me when it happened, and he said, are you crying? I'm like, no, I'm not crying. So that was my favorite.
So my favorite scene was probably when they raided the tower.
Yeah, it's a good scene, too.
And took the
pure D&D thief.
Absolutely.
Plus, they run into Valeria and they all decide to work together, which is fantastic.
Yes.
Yeah, right.
And
yeah.
You know how long it is in the movie before they actually say her name?
No.
It's like 45 minutes.
When did they say it?
They say it, I think, after she dies.
No, they
say it one time prior to that because
it was like, it was a long time.
When they're starting to get hot and heavy.
Maybe. Yeah.
And he gives her the jewels.
They never say anything.
There's a lot of like Chaplin-esque kind of dumb show.
I don't think he ever speaks a word to her, does he?
No, he says a couple things to her.
Yeah, when they're doing it, and well, I guess.
But after. Mostly when they're planning, you know, to get into the mountain is when they have the most.
When they're planning to get into the mountain, you know what he's doing? He's sharpening his sword the whole time.
Right.
Yeah.
Conan doesn't say.
Oh, you're right. I guess it's all between Subutai. It's all between Subutai.
Subutai. Yeah. Right. They're all talking about it. She's just like, look, I'm gonna go up there and whoop some ass. I don't know about you guys.
They had a conversation because she said, "Let's just be happy with the money and."
Right.
This is, you're enough for me. You and this is enough, and we can have a happy life.
Hey, I don't think he ever replies to her.
I don't think he says that.
He has lines.
Because he does. He gives her a big hug, and then behind her, he's holding up the thing and looking at it, and he's like, I'm leaving tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yep,
but I don't think he ever says anything.
That's interesting.
He says maybe it she's, by maybe leaving
she,
the gem
maybe
with
she's
her.
Not real. The entire time.
No, she's real.
She's like Tyler Durden.
No, because Subutai knows. So, but Subutai burns her and says, I cry for him. Yeah. He won't cry, so I cry for him.
No, well, how he speaks to her is by when he's not in the bed or the bedroll the next morning, the gems are there for her.
Oh,
so that's how he speaks to her
through the
symbolic
lots of communication.
Language.
Because not only is he not a thinker, he's not a talker.
Right.
If I think about it, I'm thinking real hard, and I've seen this movie, as I mentioned, about 800 times.
Right.
And I can't think of any word that he says to her.
That's interesting.
Well, you know, really, think about beautiful women. I mean, do they need to talk? So let's do the role reversal. He doesn't really need to speak. If I was sighted, I could just watch him lift weights for 2 hours.
Just a great pass out into the stew scene, so you can't fault him with that.
Yeah. That's like your eating strawberries scene, Chris. What's her name again that you just
Scarlett watch? Johansson. Yes, so yeah, Scarlett my Johansson. Alternate plot, my alternate ending for Iron Man 2 was that you know that scene where he brings strawberries to Pepper?
Yes.
To make up for things, and then you know Natalie comes in, who we don't know is a Black Widow yet.
Mm-hmm.
But she comes in and like everybody, you know, an argument ensues and everybody leaves and leaves her there. I think if the rest of the movie was just her watching her eat those strawberries. I would have gotten my money's worth out of that movie.
I'll be in my bunk. Yeah.
So anyway.
I would like to see a movie that's just Salma Hayek and anybody and any other Hispanic actress just screaming at each other in Spanish. maybe Penelope Cruz, I'm not sure. But
hey, there you go.
Yeah.
All right. So a major part of this movie was the music.
Yes.
And I really want to talk about the music.
Okay.
So, Sharon, what did you think of the music? Because that was most of what was giving you information about what was going on.
I thought the music fit the scenes. I liked the drums, you know, again, in the witch scene,
mm-hmm.
you know, and just how they built the rhythm and the sexiness of it, the darkness, and then how it just kind of built. I'm not even doing a metaphor here, but you know, and then he throws her in the fire and
really kill her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it turns her into pyrotechnics.
She turns into a fireball and flies away.
Yeah.
She goes away laughing and screaming.
So I thought the music, you know, in a lot of cases really fit, and you know, even the scene with the wheel and
mm-hmm.
I mean it was very 80s-ish.
I didn't think so.
You didn't think so?
No, I thought this soundtrack was perfect.
I mean it was perfect.
For an epic sort of, you know, sword and sorcery kind of film. Mm-hmm. This was so good that I noticed strains of Dragon Age soundtrack in there, and I'm I had no idea that they stole from this.
Mm.
Maybe they did.
And I think I heard something that Lord of the Rings took.
Mm. Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, I mean, this seemed like every tune that was playing, you know, for each scene
mm-hmm.
was absolutely perfect for that.
So was Hans Zimmer in charge of the music on this? Or?
No, it's a fella named... I forget.
Basil Polidorus.
Yeah, what else did he do?
He did RoboCop. He did Hunt for Red October. He did Les Miserables in 98. He did Free Willy.
Was that the Liam Neeson Les Miserables in 98?
I don't know.
No. Yes, it was, yeah.
The 1998 movie, yeah. And he did Destroyer and Lonesome Dove.
Wow. Yeah. And I don't really think that I noticed a soundtrack in any of those movies of the ones that you said that I saw. I don't think the soundtrack really did anything for me.
I think that did a lot for the
Yeah, but Conan soundtrack, you know, like every weightlifter I ever knew used that as like their intro.
Really?
Why wouldn't you? Seriously.
So, I mean, any other commentary on that, Mike or Pete?
On the soundtrack?
Yeah.
I mean, I listened to it almost as many times as I watched the movie when I was a kid.
Oh, yeah. No, it's one of those ones that just inspires you. When I used to try to make my my tabletop role-playing games more kind of invested, I would put on the Conan soundtrack.
Okay. Yeah, I know I've heard it at Mike's house.
Yeah.
So. I actually don't have it on my...
I thought you did.
I have it, but I don't have it on my gaming list. It got cliche for me.
Oh, okay.
So much. I was like, I need something.
Oh, yeah. I mean, out of high school, you just try to find other things like that. Then you discover things like Clannad. So. Okay.
So this movie worked really well like this, right?
Mm-hmm. What worked well? What?
I mean, the movie as a whole, it worked. Everything about it was...
I mean, this is why. So I think it's the best fantasy movie that's ever been done.
Wow.
And the reason I think that is because it's just nice and pure and clean. It's not, there's no bullshit, there's no subplots, there's no filler, there's no, you know, they don't change things up, there's no big goofy surprises, you know.
And actually, one of the cool things about it that I
like... It's so face value.
But one of the things that I liked about it is that there's actually character development. You know, you get to see Conan, who is not a thinker, not a speaker, at the very end, what's the last pose he strikes?
Yeah, he's bored.
No, he's the thinker.
Yeah, but he's also sitting on a throne board.
But the thing is that prior to that, he's sitting on the steps of Thulsa's...
I think he's a thinker the whole movie.
I don't think
he
is.
Well, he's not a talker, I'll tell you that.
He doesn't say anything.
But I think this is finally, now that revenge has been had, what's next? You know, and I think there's character development, a level of character development in Conan that you don't find in other fantasy films.
Uh-huh. Yeah, there are a bunch of scenes of just him thinking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, and that's what I'm saying. As time goes on, you know, like especially when he's practicing out on the shoreline, and he stops and he looks at his own hand and he flexes it and he
He's thinking about the
sword and stuff like that. Exactly.
Yeah. So there's a lot of. No one has ever accused Arnold Schwarzenegger of being a fantastic actor.
Really? No, I'm sorry.
Although, you know, when the movie's built around his crappy acting, they're really good.
So you think, rather than try to direct him into doing things, they just sort of took what they got and built the scene around that.
Sure. I don't know. I don't know how they did it.
I'm just wondering, you know, what worked about his acting with this that made it, you know, made the film successful?
I think because they kind of tapped into why he was so popular as a literary character. Is that it's a lot of him, you know, feeling the pain and letting that guide him.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't need to have a lot of, you know, you don't need to have a lot of extemporaneous moments from the lead character. And like Mike said, we never had to be led around by our hands. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah, and there wasn't some big goofy switch like, oh, his father's still alive.
Right, exactly.
Oh, his mother really is his father. Doom's bride. Right? There's no crap like that.
I think his body type, of course,
yes,
worked because, I mean, he was just, you know, I totally believed he was Conan. I mean, not for one second did I disbelieve that he was Conan. I definitely wouldn't say it's my favorite. I hate to disagree with Mike, but I have to because this is a podcast. I think there were a couple holes. I'll point them out to you. I don't know what the witch is, even though I like the scene with the witch.
Mm-hmm.
She appears like she wants to help him, has sex with him, and
gives him the information he wants,
and then tries to kill him.
Yeah.
So that I guess was a plot hole for me. Is what did she want?
Right.
So confusing part. So, mm-hmm.
Well, maybe that's what she does. Maybe she's like a praying mantis. Maybe that's what she does with her lovers.
She just, maybe she
maybe she couldn't help
she
it.
She got what she wanted and then had sex. And then
or she maybe she really wanted to kill a man and, that and knew where he wanted to be.
Yeah.
There, or maybe she really wanted to kill a man who wanted to be somewhere else at the time.
Okay. I have no idea.
That could be. Why was she holding on to Subotai?
That's a reasonable hole. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
What is best
I
in
didn't
life?
Love
crush your enemies.
The
see them driven
princess.
Before.
I was, you know, like, okay, so she really wanted to be a snake follower, and then
what did she get out of this?
He didn't come after her.
No, he tried to kill her.
Okay. Yeah.
Thulsa Doom tried to kill her.
Okay, okay.
Shot her with an arrow, yeah.
And then she realizes, wait a minute. Okay, you're evil. So, I don't know.
Yeah,
I guess
there's actually a change. So the version that I watched recently is appears to be a director's cut. Mm-hmm. And there's a couple of scenes added. One, and now it's hard for me to separate them, but one of them was at the end, In the original version, Conan just goes to Thulsa Doom's temple when it's all empty because it's only basically him left.
Okay.
Walks into the place and murders him, and that's that.
Huh.
In the new one, she leads him in there, and she distracts the guards so that Conan can kill all the guards.
Oh.
And that was new. Like, I hadn't seen that originally.
Okay.
And I don't know which version you guys saw. But, yeah. So
that definitely wasn't the version
she distracted the guard in the one we saw.
Right. She described, yeah, so that was kind of the...
That was after he tried to kill her.
That was after Thulsa Doom tried to kill her.
Okay.
Yes.
Right.
Okay.
But now what's interesting is maybe, you know, given the fact that Thulsa Doom was able to look at followers and say, hey, jump off that cliff, and they did and died,
mm-hmm.
you wouldn't think she'd care that much about the fact that he tries to kill her.
Right.
Now she might just be, I'll see you
on
the other side.
Oh, that's part of it, yeah, whatever.
So she actually kind of switches relatively quickly. But maybe she's smarter than your average cliff diver.
I don't know. I don't know why she would be so into the evil bad guy in the first place. So I guess for me,
you know,
kids are sexy.
He's a bad guy.
He had drugs.
Good girls like bad boys.
Like
that's
true.
He has this like crazy, I'll look at you and you'll do whatever I want.
Yeah.
And you know, he's been working on that for like one thing that is interesting from the commentary when they talk about James Earl Jones and Thulsa Doom is they said we wanted to get an actor who looked physically different than every around him. So it's all these like big white guys and then him. And you know, they said that we wanted to, you know, he's not even their race, right? He's not even, he's like he could be 1,000 years old.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, and I think they even say something like that, right? You know, he's evil. He's they say something about the fact that he's
been around for a long time.
Yeah. Right. So the idea that he's, you know, he is this sort of super powerful entity that isn't even anything like them.
He really worked for me. I mean, Conan really worked in his role. I love James Earl Jones. So, mm-hmm. I mean, he couldn't do anything bad in my eyes. I wasn't really into the princess. I mean, they didn't really...
She was kind of a nobody.
Yeah, they didn't, you know, like you were talking about character development. I didn't really get anything with her. And, you know, like, I probably would have left her on the side of the road. I would have been like, I'll go collect the money because you're a princess, you know.
Well, the thing is, like...
Whatever.
He got her out of there and was like, you guys take care of this and, you know, I'm going to go finish the job. And he didn't really care about the reward and you know, kind of expected his friends to go off with, you know, and turn her in, you know.
Right. I mean, one of the things that I was watching out for more recently, a question that I had in my mind while I was watching the movie, and I'm, you know, a poor choice to even consider the question, is this movie sexist?
I would think yes.
And well, right. So the one thing that I think helps kind of push it in the other one is Valeria is not a wuss, right? Like,
oh no,
she actually holds
right up there. Yeah.
Right, she's
that's
smart.
True. However, from a feminist point of view, her entire story hinges on him.
Right.
So she's not a separate entity. She's
no.
an aspect of Conan.
I guess. I mean, she kind of did her own shit before she ever found them.
Yes.
And she's also the one that leads him in and out of the tower. Like, they never would have made it with him.
Right, exactly. She brings the rope.
Yeah.
You and your fucking rope.
Right. And, you know, but she's,
keep the fucking rope.
So, if it weren't for her, I think the movie would be a terrible, you know, sausage.
I think one of the cool things for me, though, is that none of the primaries dialed it in. Everybody was trying to sell their character.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know, I believed in Subotai. I believed in Valeria, you know.
Sharon, what were you saying?
Oh, I was going to say, I think something that would probably offend a lot of women is there is, you know, a rape scene. I mean, yeah. I can of course remember one when they, you know, put the woman in the cage, and you know Conan could have, you know, not done it, but he did, and technically, I tried to think about it at the time, and I'm like, no, pretty much that's a rape scene, no matter how.
No, it is.
And so, you know, I think, you know, yeah. I guess that's all I need to say about it.
And it also demeans the woman down to just breeding stock. That's all she's really good for.
Right.
You know? But they were both slaves.
But he was a slave too.
That's the weird thing. He was a slave too. And they're on a show for all the people outside the cage.
Right. And could he have not done it? I mean, I guess that's I think maybe that would have made
He didn't look like he was having a terrible time.
Right. Yeah. Right.
He wasn't being objectified or victimized there.
No, he wasn't. Of course not. But I'm saying it could have made a point that he was more honorable if he, you know, would have covered her with the blanket, and, you know, maybe if she would have then gone over to him.
Right.
You know, like, oh, thank you. Yeah. Thank you for not doing that. You know, I'm just saying it's another way to look at it. Mm-hmm. It could have been. They could have done something different with it.
So that would actually have been a more interesting scene. Because it's similar to the way that the seduction between him and Valeria works. She goes after him. There's like a scene where she kind of darts for him, and you expect him to like grab her and throw her on the bed, and he just stands there with this smirk on his face, looking at her.
Correct.
And then she stops and looks at him again, and then she kisses him again, but she's. She has to make two moves.
Yeah.
Right. And he's just like, yeah, I know you're coming over. Like, I'll just wait.
Right. And it's obvious that, you know, that he's going to let her. So I guess I just wish that, from my point of view, that they would have done something. So I think in that way, it would have been a better movie for me.
Right.
Just if they would have done more gestures and like him being protective of the girl they put in the cage, and so I think that's a way that they could have made it one of my favorite fantasy movies.
Right.
So it would have it would have raised
an awkward moment. And
yeah,
it's
a trigger,
no,
it is.
You know?
And it's supposed to be.
Well, it's another one, and you know, this is kind of something that's been changing over the past 30 years. I mean, you know, I read a really interesting article about Blade Runner that talks about the fact that basically Rick Deckard rapes Rachel.
Yes.
In Blade Runner. And you know. It's like, what? No, she does. You know, no, are you kidding? That doesn't happen. And then you watch her and you're like, oh, yeah.
No, it's totally a rapey scene.
Yeah.
Totally.
I'm going to have to watch it again because I'm not sure.
Watch Gone with the Wind.
Especially the director's cut. Especially the director's cut. Okay.
I have five different versions. Which one is it in?
Down her.
Oh, God. So only watch. Yeah. So here's the clue for Blade Runner, even though it's not what we're talking about. The cut, I think it's the 1990 cut.
Yeah.
Is the best one.
It's the anniversary
cut. It's the only one worth watching. Yeah, the anniversary one. The newest one is awful. They totally screwed it up, including it sounds terrible. The audio quality is really bad.
Huh.
They made it worse. So watch get the Blu-ray, but watch the.
I got the 5 Blu-ray edition.
Yeah.
Okay.
But yes, he definitely finished Rachel.
Boy, but you know, like at the time, back in whenever the hell that movie came out, I don't know that anybody even thought of it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
now,
and
yeah,
that's and that so, movie that movie I've watched about 800 times. So.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
So did anyone say anything about the costuming?
No, go ahead.
Or lack thereof?
Well, I need somebody cited to talk about
said,
the costume.
I said diaphanous clothing.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, you did.
I have to Google that. Hang on a sec. Okay.
Diaphanous?
I think it means like filmy, sort of light.
It's filmy
sort of
and
flowy.
Light. It's usually white.
You can see through it?
Yeah.
Diaphanous?
Usually. As in of or pertaining to a diaphone.
Really?
Is that a musical instrument?
Yeah, that's what he's talking about.
Excellent.
So did you guys enjoy the clothing or lack thereof?
So actually, you know, I'm not trying to defend a movie that I do think is you know on the left side of sexist.
Right.
But her Valeria's outfit's not crazy sexy.
Mm-hmm.
No,
you know, like it's not any sexier. It's not like they're all wearing full plate and she's wearing a chainmail bikini.
Right.
Exactly.
You know, she's wearing leather armor. They're wearing leather armor. You know,
sure.
It's pretty solid. One thing I think is awesome, and one of the things that makes the movie great to watch later on is when they are having their final battle and they're wearing all the armor of all the dead warriors, and it's it's like 1,000 years worth of different kind of armor.
Yeah.
You know, it's all different styles. It's Japanese and it's European and it's, you know, all this weird style of armor.
When they go to King Osric's city, one of the things that they say about it is that it's the crossroads of the world, and you get to see costumes of all these different cultures in them. So that was that was pretty cool. Well, when they're walking through and Subutai is, you know, saying, oh, you know, we got this lotus kind of thing.
Oh, right.
You know, stuff like that, just before he punches the camel, you get to see all these different styles of dress.
Yeah. I think, Chris, you were focusing on
sometimes
food.
You get to see a blend of them. There's a girl who's wearing a very Chinese-style dress, but she's also wearing the shoulder piece and headdress of an Egyptian princess. So it's just very... It was an interesting thing for me.
Like Constantinople or something.
Right, yeah, but it's supposed to be prior food, to that, Chris. So...
Yeah, I'm actually... I mean, they mention a lot of, you know, real-world places.
Mm-hmm.
Or older names, archaic names for real-world places. Yeah. But where is this, you know?
Atlantia.
It's supposed to be... The place that King Osric rules over is supposed to be somewhere around Beirut.
Okay.
It's supposed to meet the north and the south.
So is this supposed to be Earth? Our Earth that we live on?
Well, if you read the intro to Conan...
which I haven't.
it can be.
Okay.
I don't think it matters.
Yeah, it was like before the flood.
It doesn't, because, you know, the whole thing about Dragon Reel is we're doing fantasy movies.
Sure.
And
it's definitely a fantasy movie.
You know, it's
matter
most
if it
definitely.
Was actually Earth or a parallel Earth or Earth before the flood or an Earth after an apocalypse. And he mentions all of these scenarios in the intro.
Right.
You know, but it's to him, he said that's not the important part. The important part is that it is a realm of magic and barbarism. Mm-hmm. And we have this guy who's wandering through it, and he's what defines the world for us.
So he doesn't mention the other twin Earth in the opposite side of the orbit?
Thank you, Gore. No, John Norman, he does not.
Okay. So one thing's talking about the magic, one thing that holds up pretty well is that they go very light with the magic.
Yeah.
You know, that true. There's not a lot of it. So, you know, the idea that Thulsa Doom's powers, he looks at people and then they jump off buildings or jump off cliffs.
And that's
you know,
magic.
And it's good because the couple times they put magic in there is pretty awful. You know,
it's
the fireball
true,
is
very
not great.
Dark. Very dark and very deep and very like, whoa.
Yeah, right. Right.
But I thought his transformation into a snake was actually not bad.
It's okay, yeah.
Given the time and the budget, I thought they did pretty well.
Yeah.
So, Mike, how old were you? You said you watched this a lot when you were a kid.
When did it come out? I mean, I watched it probably a couple years. So I was, you know, 8 or 9.
Wow. Yeah.
So this is exactly the kind of movie that you probably had to sneak.
No, my parents gave me no limitations on what I could watch.
Oh, right. Oh my goodness.
Yeah, because the first time that I saw Conan was on HBO.
Yeah, this movie and Excalibur were my two favorite movies.
Oh, me too! That's my favorite fantasy movie.
Okay, can we do Excalibur soon? Because
that's a good one.
That's my favorite.
Yeah.
I will defend everything in Excalibur.
Excalibur's great.
So this movie spawned a lot of copies.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and most of them suck, and most of them feature as the only selling point that they had a Playboy or Penthouse model.
Very true.
And I've got a couple of them. I've got Deathstalker, Deathstalker 2. I've got the Barbarian Queen down here.
What about Red Sonja?
Red Sonja,
which actually had nothing to do with the Red Sonja storyline of Robert E. Howard.
And also had Conan, but not Conan.
Yes, exactly.
Wait. What do you mean Conan, but not
Conan? So Arnold Schwarzenegger appears in the Red Sonja movie.
Okay.
But at the time, they don't have the rights. The company that makes the Red Sonja movie doesn't have the rights to the name Conan.
Right. So he's he just has a different name.
He's King somebody.
Yeah.
Huh.
But he's Conan. But he's
definitely
really
Conan.
Yeah. Yeah. Including another Conan movie was
Lord
another
Calidor.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, you just looked it up.
What an awful name.
Yeah. Sounds like a soap.
I just recently rinsed with Lord Calidor, and I find that its protection lasts all day.
It helps my pores. Yeah.
So, gentlemen, do you think it's time to
rate? Not yet.
Okay.
No, I have one
more
important
question. Have you guys ever seen a movie called Hawk the Slayer?
No.
It's on our list, though.
Okay, good. That was one of the movies that came out after Conan.
Yeah.
And it's one of those movies that, to my mind, is so bad it's good.
Mm-hmm. Well, Beastmaster was one of the also ripoff, and that's, you know, that has, you know, its own merits.
Mm-hmm. Very true.
But another copy of this movie was Conan the Destroyer.
Oh yeah, that's stupid.
Which
yeah, awful.
Was also Conan. But what worked about this that wasn't working in that?
So one big one. I was talking to Sharon about this earlier. The use of comedy. Conan has a lot of funny scenes in it. Conan the Barbarian has a lot of funny scenes in it, and none of them are there. It's not. It's almost not purposeful. And in Destroyer, they specifically add like a dude who's nothing but comic relief, and he's a horrifying character. And it's, you know, it ruins the movie, where like Subotai's not comic relief. They could have made him comic relief and they didn't, right? He's a straightforward guy.
Yeah, he's kind of a Moonglum kind of sidekicky
guy. Right. But they have that great scene where they're talking about the gods and like, yeah, my guy, my guy's up in the sky and your god's below him, you know?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And you know, right. And then Conan punching the camel. You know, there's like all the comedy's kind of handed off to different characters.
Him passing out into the soup.
Yes. Right, him passing out stuff like
that.
Yeah. Right.
That was the closest thing to a wah wah wah. You know?
Right. So in Destroyer, it's so back to like, well, let's write our script and let's, you know, we got to have this, we got to have that,
the big problem with it is that they had to hold your hand all the way through it.
Right. None of the mystery is there. It's got probably 10 times more dialogue in it than the other one had.
Oh yeah, hands down. And it has Wilt the Still Chamberlain in it too. So,
There's a lot of great stuff that happens when you don't spell things out. You know, our love of Boba Fett came because we didn't know who the hell he was.
Exactly.
And then the minute they tell us who he is, we think it's stupid.
And it is.
Yeah. So not explaining. And I think that's why Fury Road is so good. There's so much stuff in that movie that doesn't get explained.
Exactly.
And it makes everything. All of us use. You know, we've got a million minds out there that can make better stories than one.
Oh yeah.
And when we're building the story in our head, it's far better than
And
what
that's why there should have been a Star Wars 1, 2, and 3.
Yeah,
there wasn't.
Right.
I know, dear. In your mind, it doesn't exist. Right.
I had a bad breakup with Lucas.
Think of it this way: it helped us pave the path so that the next movies won't be so bad.
Yeah. We hope.
Right. It's yeah.
Yeah.
So, how are your hopes for King Conan?
Not good.
Yeah, me either.
I'm 50-50 on it. I guess it depends on who they're actually bringing back.
Yeah, like, I'm willing
writers,
to
what
be
writers are they bringing in? Amused. Who's going to direct it, and who's going to co-star with him?
Yeah. Well, I hope that
is there
they
a King Conan movie coming out.
Yeah, there's one in development
with Schwarzenegger.
Yeah, it's supposed to close.
I kind of think it'll be good.
Yeah,
I think they're ignoring Destroyer.
That'd be good.
Let's keep our minds open.
It's not like it had any legacy that had to be carried over.
Let's be hopeful about it.
Yes.
But there are so many questions left at the end of the second one.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry.
Like, what like, kind of a
why the
what
hell
kind
did
of
you
convention?
Bring back Subotai?
Yeah. What happened to most of the cast?
Yeah. What happened to being a decent director? What
happened
to
I am...
Is it the same director for the second movie?
I don't think it is.
Okay.
I don't
Sharon, what?
I am just very excited to hear how people rate this movie. I'm sitting here with bated breath.
Oh well, you should brush your teeth.
Oh, definitely.
No, I mean I'm excited. I want to hear what everyone has to say.
Okay, Mike.
Yes.
Since you're our guest, I'm going to ask you first.
How many gold pieces?
On a scale of 1 to 5, how many gold pieces do you rate this movie?
Man, can I give it half? Half gold, they're like silver pieces.
Yes, but if you do half gold, we have.
So I could do like 4 gold and 1 electrum.
Yes, absolutely.
I will give it 4 gold and 1 electrum.
Okay.
And the other electrum I'm taking back because of the stereotype for the princess and the rape scene.
There you go.
Okay. Fair enough.
Other than that, I think it's perfect.
Sharon.
Yes.
On a scale of 1 to 5 gold pieces, how do you rate this movie?
I'm gonna go last. Yeah, I can do that. Yeah.
No,
whoa.
No, I think you should go.
That now you get 1. You can never ever put this off again.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Pete, on a scale of 1 to 5 gold pieces, how do you rate this movie?
I rate this a solid 4.
Any rationale, or just you reckon it'd be about 4?
No, I reckon it'd be about 4. It's enjoyable. It stood the test of time. Mike is right. It's one of the strongest fantasy movies ever made.
Yeah.
And it is something that writers of modern fantasy should start taking back to heart again. The simplicity of it, you know, the straightforwardness of it, the fact that they don't have to hold our hands, mm-hmm. and things like that. I think what brings it down from a five is some of the inconsistencies and the rapiness. Mm-hmm. So.
Chris, your turn.
My turn to do what, Sharon?
Rate the movie.
Well, I on a scale of 1 to 5 gold pieces, I will give this movie a pretty shaky 4 gold pieces. For much of the same reasons that Pete said, and also because I never had to explain more about what's going on the screen.
Yeah. Yeah.
In any other film. So there should have been a little bit more
dialogue. You want me to give you the justification
along.
To make this a solid 4 for you?
Okay.
The soundtrack.
All right, solid 4. you brought me back, man.
See?
and yeah, absolutely. That will definitely pull it up. Sharon,
mm-hmm.
on a scale of 1 to 5 gold pieces, how do you rate the Conan the Barbarian?
Really?
She's not only going last, she's making last take a really long time.
I know. I'm always like the other voice.
Don't we all have to get up in the morning?
Of course I'm the other voice, but I can't give it a 4. I'll say 3.5.
Okay. All right.
More because some of the things that you guys mentioned, but I think they could have done stronger roles for some of the women, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. Yep. Just yeah. I mean, I loved Conan, and I loved James Earl Jones. I mean, mm-hmm. you know. So did I say 3 or 3.5?
You said 3.5.
Yeah. But I can't. There are just movies out there, and I think when I can compare and contrast it to Excalibur, I think I'll say more when we do that show about, you know, why I would, I just like it better, and so, mm-hmm. And I think that people will have to wait for my justifications as to why I like Excalibur. Much better.
We'll get
yeah.
to that one.
Conan. Yeah.
Yeah, it's really tough. I mean, yeah. Excalibur is really, really good.
Yeah.
As for the no strong other characters, there aren't really any other characters. I mean, there's really, you know, 2 or 3 characters in this movie that matter.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I mean, there are, what, 5 primaries?
Yeah. Something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's really the cast.
Oh,
everybody else just kind of, you know, is also there. And, mm-hmm. you know, they're important in their scenes.
Yeah, we never talked about Mako.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. We never did.
I remembered a scene
who
that
was
went
phenomenal.
On...
was <curious. laughs>
I remembered another scene that went on way too long.
Uh-huh.
It's when she was holding down the body after
yeah.
the it just went on too long for yeah. me. I'm like, "Oh yeah. my God, I don't care." You know, right. like she's
yeah,
like,
you're right. I'm on a shaky 4 again.
You know.
Oh,
she's holding down the body. Lines, and it's just like, right. We get it. What is this for? Like I just was like it was just too long.
Yeah, right. You're right. And the other thing is the special effects in that scene are really bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like the
they
end
are,
of
but they're not as bad as no, they're not as bad as they are in Highlander because they don't get
oh, yeah.
the whole demon thing. They're just these amorphous little etched in critters, but still.
So sometimes I'm glad I'm a blind person for those really tacky, rotten scenes. So
right. Like how hard is it for her to say, look, I'll give my life up for him. Right. And that should be that's really the only important thing right. in that scene.
Right.
Yes. Yes. So Chris.
Yes.
What Sharon. Is our next movie? What are we?
Our next movie is going to be Stardust.
Ooh.
Ooh.
And who will yeah. be? Will we have a guest for that one as well?
I seem to recall so, but I can't remember.
I thought so as well. That's why I was confirming.
Wow.
So now we gotta go through our email log and find out who.
Or the person can email you at.
Yes.
How can they get in touch with you if they want to do Stardust?
You know, if somebody wants to do Stardust, they can get a hold of me. By emailing dragonreelpodcast@gmail.com. Or they can follow our Twitter, which is just @dragonreel, or twitter.com/dragonreel.
Or what about our Facebook page?
You know, we have a great Facebook community.
We really do.
We have a good, you know, 500-some likes on Facebook now.
Mm.
So join the club. Everybody is. Everybody else is doing it. Why
Everyone's
don't you?
Doing it.
Come on. You won't be cool if you don't like us on Facebook.
Plus, we have friends. Sexy guests like Mike Shea come out.
Oh, yeah. Right. He's saucy.
What's that?
Listen to that golden throat.
No kidding.
Hello.
Well, hello.
There he is.
Hello.
Well, hello there.
Hello there.
Well, do you want to Mike come Shea. Into my tent and get warm?
Would you like to see my
warm
life?
Yourself. By my fire.
And I'll show you my sly flourish. I'm sorry.
Oh.
So, Mike, how can people get a hold of you?
Slyflourish.com, I think it is.
You don't know?
And twitter.com/slyflourish.
There you go.
Yeah.
Okay. We also have a website. You might have heard of it. It's called dragonreel.com.
Whoa.
Well, it's not called that. That's how you get to it.
Right.
And you can find us on iTunes as well. You can search for Dragon Reel. You can search for Fantasy Film Podcast. Also, listen to another Fantasy Film podcast called the Fantasy Film Podcast. There's a couple of ladies. They're pretty funny. So it's a small community, and there aren't that many.
Shout out.
Right, and there aren't that many Fantasy Film podcasts, and I think you should give them a listen as well.
You're
here. So until next time, do we have a sign-off, Pete?
We don't, actually.
Oh, we need
to
sign off.
Watch more fantasy.
Watch more fantasy.
Live the fantasy.